welcome to Adriana's Mystic Connections on Body Mind Spirit Radio, brought to you on the second Saturday monthly from 10 to 11 a.m. Adriana's Mystic Connections is hosted by the wonderful Adriana Lesniak. Adriana is a truly wonderful medium, energy healer, and teacher. She invites you to call in for guidance, wonderful inspiring topics, and counsel from the angels. The second half of the show, she will be offering mini readings to callers. If you would like a mini reading, please call in at 646-378-0378. And now I give you your host, Adriana.
Hello. I'm coming from you. I'm coming to you from Camp Chesterfield, which is one of the oldest communities in the Midwest. And I'm going to be doing a class 2 weeks from tomorrow here on the Sacred Triad, which is the sacred geometry that I use to channel. And I'm so blessed to be teaching here. To be asked to teach here is a great, great honor. And I'm also here this weekend as a vendor. So this is Camp Chesterfield, Indiana. And I would love if any of the listening audience would come see me. If you do actually are able to come see me, just mention this radio show, and I will give you $10 off your reading. And I'm doing a lecture today at 4 o'clock on Animal Spirit Guides, which is completely free. And we'll be talking about the Sacred Triad and how you can key in with your Animal Spirit Guides. I just returned from a fabulous, amazing trip to Scotland, and I'm just so full of the experience that it's hard to talk about. And I'm still boiling it down. I returned Thursday, so just back in the States for just 2 days, really, and there was just so much. It's so beautiful. So many sacred places there. There's such a love for the ancient place of our ancestors. And trees are treated differently. The plants are treated differently. Heather is considered so sacred. Thistle is considered sacred. The flowers there were amazing. You know, it was usually somewhere in the 50s. Sometimes it got into the 60s. You would think that there would not be a lot of flowers. There were tons, literal tons of flowers. Everyone was growing them. I heard that it's some type of competition there to see who has the prettiest city. So Glasgow was competing against other cities. And as far as I'm concerned, Glasgow most flowers. We traveled up the coast, we traveled through the beautiful, beautiful highlands. And those of you who are Facebook friends with me can see some of those amazing pictures. It was a wonderful trip that I took with my aunt, and my grandmother was Scottish. And is Scottish, actually, even though she's now on the other side. And she took great, great pride in that. And so we wanted to go, and we wanted to experience, and we wanted to experience that connection with our ancestors. And it was beyond amazing. I went on the trip with zero expectations because I didn't want to go. Oh, I thought it was going to be bigger. I thought it was going to be better. I had zero expectations, so no matter what it was, it was going to be wonderful. And it was wonderful. One of the reasons why it was so wonderful was my guides and my angels who were with me every step of the way, as well as my ancestors there on the aisle who took amazing care of me. Amazing care of me and my aunt. I mean, so many things. Like if there was a seat, we got the front row. If there was an issue, it all just smoothed out on its own. Just like there's so much, it's hard, like I said, it's hard to choose. But my aunt was crossing the street. She was getting ready to cross the street, and I was like 3 paces behind her. And, you know, they drive on the other side of the street than we do. So she, out of habit, looked the way she was expecting a car to come. And then she had 1 foot out, and I was like, oh, I've lost my ability to speak. All I could do was do monkey talk, oh, because she was stepping right into the path of a car. And that car was not yards away from her, was feet away from her. It was inches away from her. I asked her later, did you actually touch the car? She was went past. And she said, well, thank God I heard you yelling and then you grabbed me. And I said, that wasn't me grabbing you. That was not me. She said, you grabbed me and yanked me back. And I'm like, no, it was me yelling because I was too far away. I was trying to absolutely yanking her back. I feel like we had some help from some ancestors who pulled her back. She said she felt cemented to the ground, but she couldn't even move it, and then she got tugged backwards. Thank God. Oh, my gosh. There are so many little, thank God. I almost missed my international in Amsterdam because I had to get one more thing of cheese, right? Like, I don't think dairy is necessarily healthy for us, but what am I doing? Buying cheese for my kids. And my aunt was running ahead. We're going to miss the plane. I'm like, I just have to get some cheese. But that's important in the whole scheme of things. I thought I was going to miss the plane. I was literally crying as I'm running, saying, hold the plane, please. I'm sorry. Just go with cheese. I'm sorry. And I got there, and I was actually on time. They said that I wasn't late. They hadn't started calling the naughty passengers who haven't boarded yet, so I was still actually on time. But that's a relief. So different ways my ancestors, guides, angels showed me every step of the way that they were with me. They gifted me with a humongous feather. It is, I kid you not, a foot long. And I think it comes from the local beautiful peacock. And there used to be two, a male and a female. And the male is the only one anyone's seen lately for the last several months. The reason why I say I think is because it would be a tender feather. It doesn't look like your standard peacock feather. It's kind of long and creamy with some brown, but it's got some of that. Just if you look at it the right way, you can see sort of that blue radiance play over it. And so many different things. We had, we stayed in Manor. I saw one time, it was amazing. Message me if you would like more information about the tour that we took or the tour company, because I will give them highest marks. And if you're thinking of going to Scotland on a tour, I'd be glad to pass that along. And you can reach out to me at my website, mysticconnections.com, or my email, adriana@mysticconnections.com. And you can always call me at 248-379-7324. 248-379-7324. So we would walk into this room. My aunt would walk in and nothing would happen. And I would walk in the door and the doors of the wardrobe would just fling open. Would just fling open wide all by themselves. And I know it sounds crazy, but it felt like a gigantic hug. Like the doors were just swinging wide and saying, hello, there you are, waiting for you. They only did it, you know, when we walked in the door. They only actually did it 3 times. And we helpfully put a suitcase in front of the door just in case we had to do that at night, because neither of us felt comfortable with that. But we'd walk in the room and the doors would swing open wide and say, hello, here you are, I've missed you. It was just so, so amazing. I can't even tell you about all the human angels we met who helped us, were there right when we needed them to take us places or do things with us or give us information when we need it. There was a moment where we were stranded and looking for a taxi, and then we got the taxi driver was able to give us information on how we could find our ancestral home and this library that turns out to be one of the largest records of birth and death. One of the largest in Europe. It used to be the largest. Well, I love it. It was amazing. And so many sacred places. Scotland is all about memory. Memory from 2,000 years ago. They've got monuments from the Celts, from the Picts, from the Romans, who came in right about the time of tried to stay there for about 400 years and finally gave up. Normans, Saxons, Vikings, all about memory. And there's ruins that they're still finding from ancient civilizations. And then, of course, you've got the castles and the keeps. And then you've got the memories that are kept in song. You know the song, and forgive my singing voice, but you take the high road and I'll take the low road and I'll be in Scotland the story. For me and my true love shall never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. Loch, it means lake. We actually rode a boat on Loch Lomond. And the feeling was so ancient and so deep, but there was also such a longing there. And I got the feeling that there's been some tragedy there. And and my aunt was there, and she, of course, she's very intuitive too, and she also felt just a longing, a deep longing. It was so great to be on that water. It was so deep and dark. And they call, on one side of Scotland, lakes are called lochs. And actually, you're supposed to say it like this, lochs. You got to have that. You should have that throat thing in the back, lochs. I can't do it very well. But on the other side, they're called firths. And that is a derivative of fjords, which came from the Vikings and the way. Depending on where you live in Scotland, you either call your lake a loch or a firth. There is so much history. And so fights between clans with weapons in the 1400s yesterday. So talked about the people who lost their lives or mourned. The victors still feel guilty. 1700s, when the Highlands were finally overcome, and the end of the Highlands that they were for over 1,000 years, when Bonnie Prince Charlie failed in his bid to take over Scotland, it's present in song and in dance and in the history and in monuments. And there were so many sacred places that we went to. One thing that was very sure, though, very obvious, was that Scotland survived on tourism. 75% of the people there were not Scottish. They were tourists. Amazing how many people were actually tourists. How empty were the Highlands? They were so empty that you could probably find one person for every 10 miles.
I kid you not. Because after Bonnie Prince Charlie lost his bid, the Hanoverians, which is who he fought, came in, and those were both Scottish and English, and they broke down the houses. They kicked the people out. They took over the lands. So people who had owned lands for 1,000 years no longer did. They had to lease their land. And they took the castles or the houses. They broke down the houses, and they made fences out of them to separate from the cows. And where there had been people, they put animals. So you, even now, driving through Scotland, instead of heaths and such, and you can sometimes see the outline of a house or something that was there, you see cows, or see nothing. We had a taxi driver who was taking us when we first got there. We were all about plan this and plan that, and we were all so excited to be in Scotland and determine our route, our routes. And he said it's important to understand that Scotland, in order to survive, needs to become a country of diversity, that it's long past the time the clan should be held important. It was time for the vast variety of people who call that country their home, like wonderful Indian man who served us our Indian dinner when we were there, who said, I'm Scottish, I was born here. We're looking at him and thinking he's, you know, Indian because he's fancy Indian food. I'm Scottish. He had a lovely Scottish accent. It's so important for the diversity of people for Scotland to grow and become and change. We ancestors think of it romantically as Scott and Braveheart and Rob Roy, etc. But the thing is that we need to let them move on and grow and become. There are so many sacred places in my life. My home is a sacred place. There's places on my land that are sacred. All of my land, of course, is sacred, but there's special places. Buried my animals. There's trees that, there's this humongous maple tree that I love. All of Scotland is sacred. You know, they make sure that if you're going to build, you have to build in a certain way. If you're going to build walls, they have to, especially in Edinburgh, they want everything to look like it came out of the 1700s. That's important for their tourist. So you look around and it's like everything looks so ancient. How does that sound? On my bus trip. And discover where my grandmother was born. She was born in a tenement. And so we went there. We found this building. It was still there. We found the address. We talked to a woman who was living in the tenement. And, of course, she was not old enough to remember my grandmother, who would be about 106 right now. But her father was still living. And she was going to ask her father if he remembered the family. There's so many questions we have. We just want to know more and more and more. And, you know, you'll find this when you talk to the other side, that they don't really want to talk that much about themselves. Their ancient history, they don't really care about. They want to talk about you. They want to see how you're doing. They don't care about ancient family. It doesn't matter anymore. All the garbage that held them down, they're rising above it now. So in order for us to find that out, we have to go research. So what are some sacred places to you? What is that place you've always wanted to visit, ancestral home? Is that in the country you're living in now? Are you lucky enough to just be able to get in your car, turn on the engine, and drive a couple hours to visit it? Is it the place where you grew up? Is it the place where your ancestors came from? someplace you feel a yearning to go that you've always wanted to go. You, for some reason, you feel kinship with that place. Maybe a past life you were there and you know you're supposed to go. What is that sacred place? And how do we honor sacred places? What do we do when we find a sacred place? Can sacred places talk to us? You bet your bones they can. And you can definitely talk to a house. A house is made up of brick and mortar or plaster or wood, but it becomes a sentient thing after someone's lived in it. Maybe even before lived in it. Once it becomes a thing, it is itself a sentient being. We are skin and toenails and feet and hands and arms and organs and blood and bones and eyes, lips, tongue. But we are also the completeness of the whole. And so it is with the house. When you walk into a house that has been very, very well taken care of, the people are happy, you feel that energy. You completely feel that energy. Just a happy, wonderful place to be. If you walk into a place that used to be in the same asylum, you feel that too. You do. Houses have their own energy that they generate. And so, obviously, if you put your house on an ancient burial ground, let me tell you, there's a good possibility that most houses are on land that at one time or another was sacred to somebody. Then you're probably going to have visitors that you weren't expecting. A lot of times I see ghosts, and the funny thing is you know, when you say ghosts, you think of people. But a lot of times I see animals, weird horses drawing carriages, or around the corner, the poor horses just trotting along, even in ghost forms, still going their circuits. I see dogs. I saw a giant stag crash through a dining room and then disappear on the other side. I don't know if it was running from something. When you have those kind of experiences, you're either seeing the animal there, or more likely, you're seeing a loop, a thing that was caught in time, maybe because of just a motion of the animal, you know, the stag crashing through, running for his life. You see that, it's called a loop, and maybe other people see it, and they'll say, oh, there's a stag ghost who runs there. And actually what you're seeing is it's imprinted in time, so you're seeing that over and over again. A lot of so-called hauntings are actually just loops. Have you ever heard the saying that places are not haunted, but haunted? Very true. And who's haunted in one place very well can move and then find out that they haven't left behind whatever it was that they were expecting to. But things can also be haunted. Spirits want to have something to occupy. So often, if you have an object, an older object, there might be some attachment to it. The good thing to do some cleansing, and you can do cleansing on a house, you can do cleansing on an object, different ways of cleansing. Next show I'll talk more about different ways of cleansing. Everyone pretty much, and there's other ways of cleansing, using angelic energy to cleanse is my particular favorite. There's a sacredness to where your ancestors live. And you may not want to kick that energy out. You may want to luxuriate in that energy, to sit in the same chair where maybe someone's great-great-grandma sat, in front of the fire. You know, we're so blessed to be able to connect to the other side, to be able to talk to people who cross. And we all have this ability. And one day, we too will cross. One day, we will. I was listening to a radio program, and it was honoring 9/11, which was 14 years ago, yesterday. And so many people who were planning on living a long life didn't that day. And then, of course, that period, the sequence of events, led to other wars of disease, which I'm not going to go into today. But it's important to remember that there is nothing promised. You may be young and healthy and fit and take your vitamins and eat properly and do everything right. And then when you're in a wonderful city, you step out in front of the car and that's it. Or you may be diagnosed with a disease and think that you're going to be gone for soon, and actually, it may take much, much longer than you were planning. 2 years is 10 years. That's a question that people often ask. They want to know, when am I going to cross? And the answer is, depends. We all have many exit points. The important thing is, honor the sacred places, to honor the sacred people in your life, to go do those things that you want to do while you can do it, while you're healthy enough. Go to your sacred place. Make a trip plan. And if it's going to take you a while to save, say in 3 years I'm going to this place and I'm saving today. And pay it like you'd pay a bill. And go. It was just so life-affirming. And my guides and angels were so present just with me all along that sacred journey, and just gave proof over and over and over again that we're never alone. On our final day, it was Wednesday, we happened to be there when Queen Elizabeth, who is now the longest reigning monarch in British history, was there to mark the ceremony of a train. And my guide said, "You go. We want you to go. If you go, you'll see the Queen." And we were trying to get there, and we were late, and it just seemed impossible. And we were running up, and it looked like most of the people had left, and we were too late. And then as soon as we rounded the corner, there was the car I was driving in. Turns out she was delayed by 40 minutes due to bad weather. So thank you, my guides and angels, for getting me there. Thank you for helping me listen. So, callers, what I'd like to ask of you today is to, question of the day is, what is your sacred place? Is it a house? Is it a country? What is your sacred place? It doesn't have to be big. It could be very, very small. My sacred place is standing by the rose bush in my front yard. Or my sacred place is my bed. How do we honor our sacred places? A great way to do that is, and I use the sacred triad, which is three circles forming a triangle. is to say a prayer and bless that place. Invite your angels and your loved ones. Ask for angelic protection for that place so that it's a safe place for you. Maybe you can put some crystals around that place to help lock in the energy. Say a prayer, spend some time meditating. The sacred places in our all have our own universe, and the universe within is reflected without. And when we create a sacred place, such as, for instance, I have a table that I put sacred things on, and that's the sacred place for me in my home. And then my husband and children come in and they drop the mail on there. I'm like, don't put that on there. But what path there? If you don't have one, maybe it's time to get one. And what do you think about that? Alrighty, so I think we're ready to take some callers.
Awesome. Well, we have Laura calling from New Jersey. And before I bring you on, Laura, what is one of your sacred places? How has it impacted you, or how do you honor it? And welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Laura, welcome.
Thank you. You know, I have a favorite place that I go to, but I don't go there as often as I would like because it's a little further away, for driving. But it's out in amongst nature on a walk, a walking path along the river, and that's where I like to go.
That sounds beautiful. I'm going to tell you a secret, and I think you already know it, but that if you can't get there physically, you can go there astrally. You can just send your mind there, meditate, and be able to visit and key into the beautiful sacredness of maybe the sign.
That's an idea. I have never thought of doing that or even trying that. It's interesting. It's something to think about. Thank you. I'm glad you got to go to Scotland. That's a place I've always wanted to go.
I apologize, I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said I'm glad you got to go to Scotland. It's a place I've always wanted to go.
Oh, so amazing.
Yeah. I want to go to Ireland and Wales, too, though, when I go, because I do want to go.
There you go. Own it.
Yeah, own it.
And actually, the people in Scotland mainly came from Ireland. So Ireland was kind of the birthplace, if you will, of Scotland. People migrated over from Ireland first. They believe, from the records.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And there are several tours you can do that include both Ireland and Scotland. Or you can just go yourself. You don't have to do a tour.
Well, I want to go. I really want to do. One of these days, I'm going to go. I have the money.
So create a plan and start putting away $5 a week.
I got to get my house first, and then I'll be able to pay for that. But I do have a question. I was wondering if you could tell me if you see me getting...
No, there's a male in spirit who wants to help here.
Oh, okay. Great.
Okay, so this is skills. I think this is either father or grandfather.
It could be.
Okay. So, and your question?
I'm looking for a job, and I did get a call. I got a call yesterday from a recruiter, and she submitted my resume.
I have to look further afield for this job.
Further afield.
Yeah, further afield. You can tell I just came back to Scotland because my guys are talking with an accent here.
That's funny.
I think both further away. Interviewed for a little bit further away.
Well, they're the one job is about an hour drive from where I currently live. And then there's a friend of mine that lives in Virginia, and she gave my resume to her manager. And then she told me yesterday, she sent me an email and told me that her manager sent it to several recruiters in their company. So maybe it's Virginia?
Yes. What immediately was further away. So in Virginia feels great. And they just gave me a feather. So I think that I would follow up with the Virginia.
Virginia. The only thing is I don't know if there's any real job openings there yet at this point, and I'm kind of desperate for work now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to, because I'm running out of money.
You may get something that sort of tide you over for now, because I feel like you get something that will help you. Pay feel like longer is West Virginia. They give me a check mark for Virginia.
West Virginia or Virginia?
Sorry?
My friend's job is in Virginia, so the company, is it Virginia, though, or West Virginia?
I wish reception here was better. Virginia, though, is what I'm getting.
Virginia, okay.
Yeah,
and then
Virginia, and they gave me a check mark.
So the temporary job, the one that's in the interim, can you ask if it's in Delaware, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania?
Hmm. And you're in New Jersey, correct?
Yeah, but I'm border on. I border Pennsylvania.
Are you close to Pennsylvania?
Well, no, Virginia is further away. I would have to move if it were in Virginia.
Oh, yes, but the closer job. Are you closer to Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I'm closer. Well, I'm closer to Pennsylvania than I am Delaware. And
I feel like it might be on the border with Pennsylvania or have a Pennsylvania connection.
Okay. Okay, that would be good, too. So I've submitted to jobs for Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware for contract work.
Okay, well, I feel like you are going to have multiple offers. I feel like none of them are going to be long-term, but they are here to help you get settled.
I'm running out of money, and I really need something to come through.
You're going to get urging. There's going to be things that will, because they're saying further afield. They're showing me that. So, but you know what? You're going to have choices. It's not just going to be one route. You will have choices. Thank you so much for calling. Really.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. And let's say a prayer right now, if we all could, if one would just... with me, hold this intention that Laura's going to find the perfect temporary job for right now that's just going to prefer to enjoy life and create the vision of what she is requesting, while the longer job comes into being. And so, thank you so much.
Next, we have Jay calling from Canada. And before I bring you on, what is one of your sacred places in the world, and how has it impacted you, or how do you honor it? And welcome to the show, Jay.
Hey, Adrienne, how's it going this morning?
Great. So I just got back from my trip, and it was so nice to talk with Ben. You also talked times of my sister radio show, Adriana Psychic Sampler, heard every Sunday, except for last Sunday, because I was on vacation. But that's so, thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, you're welcome. You're talking about sacred places. I do actually have two. One's a little bit far away, and that's a medicine wheel I usually go to and just do some praying on that one. And that's a really nice spot to be in. It's like no one's there. I usually go down to the riverbank and actually do some drumming while the weather's still good. So maybe this, maybe today I may do it or see what the wind's like. So, and I do have some altars around my place where I can do it in wintertime for personal. And I've got my native stuff and I've got my metaphysical stuff, which is basically, you know, crystals and things like that. So, yeah.
It's beautiful. I have my altar, and right now I would be taking a picture because everyone dumps everything on my altar.
Yeah.
I need to move my altar. But I celebrate you because, you know, when you are doing something like going down to the water and drumming, you're connecting with your soul. You're connecting with that place, but you're also feeding energy to that place. And that's one of the ways to recognize our sacred places, to give back by drumming or creating music or singing or doing something like that that's so personal. You know, and I feel like the water sings with you when you do that.
Yeah, it's lots of fun. Didn't get a chance to do it much this. Well, I still got a few more weeks before the winter turns, or not winter turns, before weather turns. Yeah, but we'll see if I can get some more drumming in before that time.
I hope you can. It seems like it's cooler. Yeah, cooler. So, although we're going to have a mild winter, thanks to El Nino, we'll see. But I just feel like it's cooler. I get a feeling of coolness.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's someone in your life, somehow that is taking more of a center stage in this male. So it's someone who's like becoming a friend to you, or someone maybe a mentor or something, or a friend that's coming into your life.
I don't know.
Me.
I don't have very many friends. Like, I have lots of friends. I don't have a lot of friends I can go out with and let's go talk about stuff. I just have a lot of, hard to say, friends, but
yeah.
We're not really friends, so I don't know how to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing that's happening. So, if you see someone who sort of fits the bill, who you think, you take advantage of that and introduce yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If that can lead to other things. You know, you're an inspiration to people around you because you listen to your own story, follow your own path.
Yeah.
And by doing that, you give other people freedom.
Yeah, well, thanks. Thanks so much.
You ever notice when one person does something, then other people start doing it? Begging that long lens. We were all sitting in our seats, and I thought, I have to get up once every hour. And, you get up, and you pretend like, okay, I have to go to the bathroom because where else can I go? And I don't want any convenience anymore. And I thought, this is an 8-hour trip. Through that, I walked the entire cabin. And it just felt so good to walk. And then I sat down feeling better and looked up, and a couple other people were walking. Doing that, we're giving other people inspiration to say, look, he's following his own path. I should follow my own path. And you are, at your heart, such a teacher. And that's part of your role, too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and I feel like you need a place to teach, so also look for that.
Okay.
Did you have any other questions today?
Yes, I do. Actually, a general question for everybody who's listening on the show right now, too, and myself, is that September energy is a really interesting month. I was talking to my numerologist. She said it was like double the stuff from last month. So I just wondered, can you give some tips to keep yourself at peace without going crazy?
especially right now around the September 11th time frame, there's so much emotion.
And September is a 9 month, and 9 months is about ending, and it's about beginning. Because in order for something to begin, many times something else has to end.
Yeah.
Good tips are to recognize that endings are necessary. I personally, I want to cling on and hold people as long as possible, but that's not right. You know, people sometimes run our lives for a reason or a season or just for that moment. Good thing to do is to take a picture. Take a picture of that moment and release. Time is about releasing.
Mm.
You know, the energy of 9/11, which maybe, since you're from Canada, isn't quite what it is in the U.S., is still very pervasive, and people want to remember. They want to remember. And all that is good is creating a sacred space, actually, where the World Trade Centers used to be, and now the one building, which represents the two, is definitely a sacred space. But at the same time, you need to make sure that the memory is not keeping us in some sort of tragic loop. We have to give ourselves the ability to move on to the new beginning this October, the one. So tips are release things that need to go. Think about that. And try not to connect in with other people's energy, because there's a lot of, like you said, fragmented things going on. Around the world, there's a lot of negative energy right now. By the way, energy is neither positive nor negative. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes emotions associated, we want to, but want to be in a higher, more peaceful place. But, you know, you don't even have to use the energy. You can just step back from it, release it, let it go.
Okay.
So I'm going to say the best way is to write a list of things you're going to release in September, the month of that. What a great question.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for letting me be part of the show, and thanks so much for those great questions that come up. So really, some of them are stumpers, and this is a good one. So thank you much again. Take care, and be a blessed day.
Thank you so much, and so we need to care.
Awesome. Up next, we have Annie, and she's calling from New Jersey. And before I bring you on, Annie, what is one of your sacred places in the world? How has it impacted you, or how do you honor it? And welcome to the show.
My mother's garden, my mother's home, it's my sacred place.
Oh, and hello, and welcome to the club of people whose mothers have gone, which I am a card-carrying member.
Okay.
It's a club that we all join, and none of us really wants to be in it. But, you know, she's on the other side.
Yes.
And
my father taught me to garden, and when he passed, I continued with it, and it's very
beautiful.
Very, very sacred to me. To be honest with you, it's I want it back so bad because I need it. The only other place that comes close is my parents' grave, and it's kind of hard to go there right now because there is still a very nasty battle going on within my family and division.
Mm-hmm.
Over their estate, and I just don't want
to. And you know what? You're not to deal with that. You're not to get involved with that. To the extent that you already are trying not to be involved with that, they're saying don't try to get involved with that.
Right.
And,
I've been hearing that mess going on 5 years, but what's being withheld from me is my sacred place.
Right.
It's the place
where...
So
I'm going to tell you about gardening.
Okay.
Because that's your sacred place to connect with your dad. And I think also your mom, too, in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're gardening, what you're doing is you're talking to a life-giving plant. And the plant is giving you life, and the plant is giving you life through the release of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And you are giving that plant life through the release of carbon dioxide. And so plants love people, and that plant just enjoying all the love, the devotion, you know, that you're, if you're doing a little pruning or maybe making sure it has enough water, or, you know, it's the bushes, especially flowering bushes, are ways for our loved ones to send messages with special color flowers or blooms that don't correspond with a normal season. So definitely gorgeous, sacred space. And thank you. You know, the plants are something that we take for granted. We just take for granted the grass is going to grow. We take for granted that there's going to be potatoes and onions. And our forebears could tell you nasty, nasty stories of when that actually wasn't the case. So, congratulations.
But when you say to leave it alone, because yes. This is, it's hard.
It's not your place. It's not. And if you do not, you will be sad. And right now, I feel like you're leaning towards one more than the other. You're feeling more like Switzerland than you are like a either or mooring camp. So try not to get too involved. Try. I know it's hard. Blessed are the peacemakers. And how do you make peace? You know, one person is completely in the wrong with this. One person is completely in the wrong. But the other one who's in the right is not budging. They're like, I'm right and I'm not budging. And sometimes it's not about what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes it's about peace. Try not to get involved. Send love to everyone.
Okay.
And, you know, your parents love you very, very much. And your mom is handing you some type of fruit. I'm not sure what it was. Some type of fruit. Maybe a tomato, but it's almost like it's getting peeled, which is weird. You don't peel tomatoes. But she's handing you some fruit.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. You broke up. I'm actually at location where I'm doing a fair, and reception is not so great here. So what did you say?
My sacred place at this point is it's not being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And along with many other things, it's going to, unless I do what I have to do at this point.
They're saying, though, that they, okay, so your father's giving you a great big hug and rubbing your back, and he's saying that this is not your burden. This is not your burden. And they did not mean for this to happen. They left the wrong person in charge. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, very much so.
But they can't change it. They can't fix it. It's done. And what they want you to do is separate yourself as much as possible from that drama.
I have done that.
I feel like your father is saying he tried, he did the best he could, and he's sorry. He wants you to know that he loves you very much. And they both are saying that they hear you. So you're entreating them to do something. And they're saying they hear you. That they hear what you're saying. But they're also saying they're really not allowed to interfere to the extent that you want them to. And that you need to sort of just step back. And as much as possible, find peace other ways. Is there a sister?
Yes.
Okay. And they're shaking their fingers, so they're not happy with the way she's acting. Does that make sense to you?
From day one.
Okay.
But my brother's in charge, and he's just been losing a lot of things.
Okay, but they're shaking their finger at your sister.
Mm-hmm.
So is your sister trying to take over? Let's not go there. Okay, so
yeah. They
want you to sort of try to, as much as possible, everybody that your family, that all this stuff is just stuff. And stuff is so unimportant.
I understand that.
So the Shwingi mom suffered from an illness of some type. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's letting you know that she's feeling much better now. It took her a little while to recover on the other side. She's so glad she doesn't have to go through it again. So it was something that she dealt with for a while
Yeah.
They seem to be in the midsection of the body. She wants you to take care of yourself and take long walks. And if you've had a recent injury or some achiness or stiffness in a leg, she wants you to know that gentle walking will help and make it better. And
okay.
She is saying you will be able to go again someplace at some time to these graves. You will be able to. And they also appreciate and recognize everything you've done. You've already done some things for them, and they're very grateful. Why is your father talking about a hat?
My father's talking about a hat?
Yeah.
I have two of his hats here.
Okay.
That's got two of my father's hats.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so he knows about that. Oh.
I bought him a hat when he died for his... I put the hat in his casket.
Oh, he has it.
Yeah,
oh,
I have two.
It.
And he has the new one.
Yep, he has the new one, but he's also showing me an old one. He has an old one. So I don't know exactly how that is, but... And he's and is there two boys in the house?
Two boys in my house?
Maybe.
I have two brothers who are like boys,
okay.
But they're older.
He wants you to say hello to the two boys.
And I have I also have my two sons that my father knew.
Okay. And he's saying two boys, so I'm going to say those are your two sons.
Yeah.
And he loves them, and he's very proud of them. And, won't graduate from school with honors?
Yes.
Okay, he's so proud. You know.
But.
That's affirmative. This is not your battle. This is not your war. Get involved with it. We'll just aggravate it. Please send love to everyone involved. I'm so sorry. Thank you for calling in.
You.
Thank you. If you would like reading with me, I'd love to read for you. You can reach me at mysticconnections.com. And if you happen to be in Indiana near Camp Chesterfield, I am here this weekend. I'm doing a lecture at 4 o'clock. Thank you so much, Courtney. Thank you, as always. Magnificent job. Have a blessed day, everyone.